I'm Marianne Kobasek McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with Attorney Betsy Hodge, a partner at law firm Akerman LLP. So, Betsy, looking ahead to 2025, what are you keeping a close eye on in terms of healthcare privacy and security regulatory issues, both at the federal and the state level, and why?
Well, I will be watching to see what happens with the HIPAA security rule updates that are pending at the OMB right now. So actually that could even be a 2024 update depending on when that gets released. And so it will be interesting to see the timing of that rule, what updates are in there, whether the new administration will pull that rule or opt to not enforce it, depending on how the contents of the rule align with the new administration's priorities. So looking at that, also on the privacy front, looking to see what happens with the reproductive health care privacy rule under the HIPAA privacy rule to see one, what happens with the pending litigations in Texas. Will one of those courts grant an injunction to prevent enforcement of that rule? Will the new administration take action to not enforce the rule either explicitly or by de facto means not enforce it? Also looking to see what will happen with the FTC now that it will have a new chair in 2025, and whether the new chair's priorities with respect to privacy of individuals' information and information security will be the same as Chair Kahn's priorities and what that will mean for enforcement. And then always looking at what the states are going to be doing, especially in the event that at the federal level there is not real movement with respect to information privacy and security, I think we could see some of the states take a more active role. Obviously, there's some states that are currently very active, New York, for example, California obviously is doing a lot in the privacy space, but we may see some other states get more involved in that, and especially to protect sensitive information, which would include health information. So those are just a few of the things that I'm looking for at this point.
So, Betsy, with that said, being that there is, a certain level of uncertainty, what should entities be doing right now to make sure that they're in a good position to comply with whatever new regulations that they might be expecting, or even for that matter, regulations that are on the books, but we don't know really how closely or how strictly they'll be enforced?
So I think it's good to go back to basics. And so what I would suggest is that organizations assess currently what privacy and security laws they are subject to at the federal level, at the state level, if they operate internationally, what laws apply to them, and then figure out the most stringent laws and work towards complying with those regulations. I would also strongly encourage organizations to continue to do their risk analysis to really understand their information system environment. I'm sure you will recall at the recent OCR NIST program, I believe it was Nick Heister's, who said repeatedly that you really have to understand your information and EPHI environment. And that is one thing that OCR and I think other regulators look for when they review an organization's risk analysis. Does the organization really have a handle on where all of its electronic information lives? And how that information moves into, through, and outside the organization. So I think it's going to be really important that organizations get a handle on that and really do thorough risk analyses and do them with some regularity, because the pace with which the threats and to information systems, it just keeps growing faster and faster, especially with the advent of AI. And we know, bad actors are using AI, and healthcare organizations are also trying to use AI to leverage its benefits, and so the pace of change is so great that I think organizations are really going to have to commit to regular, thorough risk analyses if they want to try to stay ahead of both inadvertent issues related to privacy and security and threats from bad actors.
So now, Betsy, as we know, we've seen a lot of ransomware attacks, data exfiltration sorts of attacks. What are some of the top cybersecurity and cybercrime lessons that you see emerging from some of the trends that we saw in 2024 that healthcare entities need to be paying close attention to in the year ahead, and why?
I sound like a broken record, but I will go back to the risk analysis and really understanding what is happening in your data environment with all of your data. I think because you can't fix or mitigate harms unless you have a real good understanding of what is happening in your environment. So I would say, it's critical to do the risk analysis and then implement the risk management plan that you develop that flows from that risk analysis. And I think that continues to be a constant theme in OCR resolution agreements. And in fact, earlier this year, OCR announced that at least, through January 20th, they have a risk analysis initiative that they're undertaking. I believe it's similar to their right of access initiatives. So organizations would do well to heed their OCR's repeated entreaties, to do a thorough risk analysis. I also think that organizations are, a lot of them are starting to and should evaluate their third-party arrangements and do more thorough vetting of their vendors, especially vendors that are mission critical to the organization. I expect that we will see more supply chain issues going forward. So attacks where, a downstream entity in a healthcare organization's supply chain has a cyber incident, and that affects all of that supplier's customers, who they may all be healthcare entities, they could be in other sectors. But I think this past year, has driven home that it's important that you have a good understanding of your supply chain. Make sure you are vetting, especially the mission critical vendors, and then also developing contingency plans, meaning having perhaps instead of having just one vendor for a particular product or service, perhaps have a couple vendors. So if one of them has an incident and is not able to operate, you have the other vendor who is able to help you continue operate with little or no impact to your organization. Another way to approach that is to have your primary vendor and then go ahead and in advance contract with a contingency vendor who would be able to step in the event that your primary vendor had an event and is not able to fully perform the contract. And then related to that, for your mission critical vendors, increasing your diligence around their cybersecurity posture in the form of questionnaires, perhaps audits. We're seeing obviously more sophisticated clients or healthcare organizations be able to do that with their vendors. And obviously that's a heavy lift. So, what I would recommend is that you prioritize the high-risk vendors, those vendors that are providing services in mission-critical areas, those vendors would get more diligence than, a vendor who is supplying a less important or critical service to the organization. So, and then another area that has attracted attention this year is for those organizations that are acquiring entities, making sure that you address and quickly mitigate post-closing any cybersecurity risks associated with the acquired entity that either came to light in the pre-closing due diligence process or after closing. It's everybody that has been involved in a transaction and then onboarding a new entity realizes that there is a lot that has to get done post-closing in a number of areas within the organization. But I think some incidents this past year, but those that occurred this past year and some resolution agreements with OCR show that addressing cybersecurity risks of the acquired entity, should not be at the bottom of the post-closing to-do list. It really is important to make sure that if there are deficiencies in the acquired entity, that the parent act with speed to raise the level of the cybersecurity posture of the acquired entity.
And finally, Betsy, what are you watching in terms of emerging AI issues for healthcare in 2025 and why?
Well, that we could not have a discussion about healthcare without talking about AI. So thank you for bringing that up, Marianne. I'm looking at, the ways that it can improve operations within a healthcare organization, both administratively and from a patient care standpoint, and looking at how organizations are setting up their governance structures and what guardrails they're putting in place. And I think one area that will bear watching is what kind of regulations will we see in the new administration regarding the use of AI in healthcare. Will the new administration continue the goals that President Biden set out in his executive order, or will the new administration move in a new direction? I'm also looking at watching to see how the bad actors are using AI to, attack healthcare organizations. I recall someone saying that AI is similar to giving bad actors Red Bull. So it allows them to more quickly launch their attacks and perhaps with greater severity. And in some ways, it lowers the barrier to entry for bad actors. It makes it AI, in some ways, allows them to more easily develop and launch malware on healthcare organizations. So, that is an area of concern too for organizations. But I think it will be interesting to see what happens in the regulatory landscape. And again, I think if the federal government does not act, I think we will continue to see states step in to try to regulate AI in healthcare and across a number of sectors, which for those organizations that operate in multiple jurisdictions, makes the compliance task more challenging, similar to what they're dealing with privacy laws and some security laws. Again, you will probably have to plan to develop your policies and procedures around your use of AI and strive for the most stringent regulations, to make sure that across your organization, you can meet and manage all of the variety of regulations around AI and deliver and get the benefit of AI while providing safe care to your patients. And that's what I'm looking for.
Well, thank you so much, Betsy. I've been speaking to attorney Betsy Hodge. I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.